It came in my heart a couple days ago, something that happened in 08, July, right after Doyle started talking about his ancestors coming to America, God started talking to me about mine. And one evening, we were out here worshiping, and I was back in that corner like I usually was, and God started talking to me about how he preserved America, how he preserved it with the Revolutionary War, how he preserved it with the Civil War, how he preserved it through World War I and World War II, Korean, all those kind of conflicts. And I saw in my spirit the wisdom of God in preserving this nation just for to preach this gospel. In a couple days, it came back up in my heart again, although something a little different. And what I want to do tonight for just about 10 minutes is I want to have you think a minute about all those history classes you took, and world history and American history. I loved history growing up. When my girlfriends were reading the dime store novels, I was reading Nicholas and Alexandria. I was reading about Queen Elizabeth of England. I was reading about the, the knights in Germany. I mean, I read all of this. I loved history. And I won't say that's righteous. In fact, I'll say that was not. But what it did was I have a little bit of background that I would like to bring to your attention, and I went back just to remind myself in the last couple days. But before I do that, I wish you'd turn to Daniel 7 with me. I'm going to read two verses before I go into some of this. Daniel 7, 3, 4, we've all read this several times. And it says, "And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the eagle thereof was plucked, it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it." If you remember in your American history, England's emblem is a lion. All the kings had the lion as an emblem on their shields. And what came out of that lion, it says here in the verse, was an eagle. I don't know if you knew this, but you know that when the Continental Congress got together and they were talking about a national animal, Ben Franklin wanted the turkey. Thank God we don't have the turkey as the national anthem. We have the bald eagle. You know, this verse was thousands of years ago. But God already had a plan for Britain, for the British Isles. He had a plan for us. And if you'll turn to Isaiah 42:4, real quick. It's talking about our Lord Jesus. And it says, "He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he hath set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law." We are familiar with the British Isles. That's what they're called. That is England, Scotland, Ireland, and Wales. I'm going to go back in history a little bit, and I'm going to be your high school history teacher, and I'm going to lecture you for about 10 minutes. But I want you to think, you know what the neat thing is? The history that I knew about, that I read about, that I studied, has a whole different aspect when it's by the Spirit of God. When you see how God was in history from the dawn of time, obviously, he created it, but how his hand led England, and then led us. I'm going to read from Luke 19, but you don't have to go there. And this is Jesus. He says, "And when he came near, he beheld the city, Jerusalem, and he wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thy eyes. For the days will come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, compass thee around, and keep thee in on every side. And thou shalt lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." You know, that happened in 70 AD. In 66 AD, Israel became free from Rome, but it was very short-lived. In 70, Titus came, an emperor, and he destroyed all of Jerusalem, and he destroyed the temple. All the Israelis, all the Hebrews scattered, and that land became Palestine. That was the end of the country of Israel. Now in 800 AD, we went through some dark ages. 800 AD, the emperor of Rome became a Christian, Constantine. Supposedly he's a relative of mine, but goodness. Anyway, he became Christian. That was the beginning of what we know now as the Catholic Church. By the year 1000, almost all of Europe, except for Spain and Portugal, was Christian. Almost all of Europe, from Poland, clear over to France, England, the British Isles, all of those. All Christian. And that lasted, and in 1492, Islam was kicked out the final stronghold in Spain and Portugal. They were kicked out, and now all of Europe became Christian. What's interesting, also in 1492, in Spain, a very religious Catholic by the name of Christopher Columbus got money from Queen Isabella. She sold some of her jewels. She purchased for him 3 ships, and he came over and discovered America. Nobody knew in Europe it even existed. Now, the Vikings, they say, were here before, but nobody in Europe knew that this whole land even existed. Columbus came over. The Spaniards started to look at the land. They started to explore. Now, not many years later, 100 years before the Pilgrims, just a little over 100 years before the Pilgrims, in 1517, there was a monk by the name of Martin Luther. I read an account on him. He was a very devout Catholic. He locked himself in his room for a month. And he did nothing but study the book of Romans. Nothing. Day and night. Read it, studied it, prayed about it, looked at it. How many of us has God done the same thing with? How many of us that would benefit? But at the end of that month, that monk came out of his room and tapped to his door what he calls his 95 Theses. And if any of you have ever had to take Western cult in college, you know what that was. He came against the Catholic Church. And he said, when he came out, it is justification by faith. When he said that, all Europe changed. Well, not all of it, but a large part of it. That was the beginning of the Protestant movement. He was excommunicated from the church. He started his own church. That's where the Lutheran church came from. Right after that, within the next 100 years, John Calvin, you had the Calvinites, and he started the Calvinistic church in Switzerland and the Netherlands. Also, that same rule of thought went to Scotland. They became the Presbyterians. Everybody knows King Henry VIII didn't appreciate that he couldn't get a divorce in the Catholic Church, so he started his own church. And that's where the Church of England, that's where we get the Anglican Church. Now, there were people in England that thought that the Anglican Church was still too much like the Catholic Church. That's where the Puritans came in. That's where the Separatists came in. The Separatists are our Pilgrims. You had other Protestant sects. You had the Anabaptists and the Mennonites. My ancestors from my German side were all Mennonites. These were the groups, the Protestants, not the Catholics. These were the groups that came to the New World. It is so interesting to see that God had a way for those Protestants, and even though the Catholics attempted to settle North America, they couldn't. In 1588, if you remember the story about the Spanish Armada, 1588, Spain, a cousin of Queen Elizabeth, he was very Catholic, Elizabeth was Protestant. He decided that we didn't need any more Protestants, and he was going to conquer England. He had a lot more firepower than England did. He got his ships together. Before he could take off, the very experienced commander of all the armada suddenly died. Had to put somebody else in his place. They were going to take off from Spain. They were going to go up the English Channel, right on the shore of France, pick up an army, and go into England and conquer England. Well, they took off, went up the English Channel, landed, and the English found out about this and sent fire ships. I don't know if you guys remember from history, they would take old ships and equip them to burn, and then they'd sail them into the other, your enemy ships. And back in those days, you didn't want a ship on fire next to your ship, and they would explode or whatever. Well, anyway, they sent these fire ships in, and it didn't harm any of the armada, but it scattered them. So they left the harbor, they didn't pick up their army. Well, you know, they're still going to go after this. So they go up the side of England and are going to come down the other side and attack. Well, as they're up over, a tremendous storm hit. Sunk 25 ships. Hurt some others. The ships were attacked with, what do they call those? There was a worm, an ocean worm, that got into the wood and destroyed it. 50 ships perished. All these people ended up stranded in Ireland, trying to get back to Spain. It didn't work. England was preserved. Now, this is only 40 years before the Pilgrims took off. Elizabeth was queen. This is the one the Pilgrims would have gone to, but in 1603, she died. God had to have somebody there that would let the Pilgrims go on, would let all this exploration go, and Elizabeth had no children. The only successor to the throne was actually the King of Scotland. It was the first time that the King of Scotland was also the King of England. And this man, you know as King James, that's where you get your Bible translation from, the King James Version. This man had a heart after God. And I read years ago about when the Pilgrims came to ask him if they could have some land in the States, he, being a businessman, said, well, what money's you going to bring back to England? And they said, sir, we'll be fishermen. And he said, you know, Jesus was a fisherman, or Peter and James and John, they were fishermen. Yeah, I'll let you do that. God had the right man at the right time. Now, Spain tried to come over here and colonize the United States, what is now the United States, and so did France. A bunch of those, they couldn't do it. I want to read you some of the colonies. In 1526, the colony of San Miguel de Guadalupe in present-day Georgia and South Carolina was founded. The colony only lasted a short while before it disintegrated. There was another attempt to start a colony in Florida in 1528. The expedition ended in disaster, with only four people making it to Mexico in 1536. This was territory that God had set aside for England. The Spanish colony of Pensacola in West Florida was destroyed by a hurricane in 1561. Fort San Juan was established in 1567 in the interior of North Carolina, but it was destroyed by Indians 18 months later. A mission founded in 1570 failed the next year, and the interesting one about that, it was very near the site of Jamestown that was founded 36 years later. The French did the same thing. They tried to establish several colonies in this part of the, in this part of the United States, and they failed. A small group of French troops were left on Paris Island, South Carolina, in 1562 to build Charles Fort, but left after a year when they were not supplied by from France. Fort Caroline, established in present-day Jacksonville, Florida, in 1564, lasted only a year before it was destroyed by the Spanish from St. Augustine. 1604, St. Croix Island, Maine, was the site of a short-lived French colony, much plagued by illness and, they think, possibly scurvy. If you remember, a couple days ago I read about when our pilgrims got here, there were dwelling places already built, most Indian, but there were some European dwellings right at Plymouth when they landed, but there was nobody in them. They had all perished in the plague. This country was meant for the British. It said even though Spain eventually had a colony in Florida, they had the colony in Florida. The Dutch founded New Amsterdam, which became our New York City. The Swede had colonies beginning in what is now Delaware, New York, New Jersey, some Pennsylvania. All of those eventually came under the rule of the British. The Dutch just handed it over and walked away. The Swedes actually were conquered by the Dutch first, and then the Dutch handed those over. You can see those 13 colonies were meant for the British. And what's interesting about the English, when Spain came over here, they intermingled with the people of South America, the people in our Western America, and that's where our Hispanic groups are now from. The French intermingled with the Indians also. The British were different. They did not. They took over the land and moved the Indians out. That was the will of God. And as David Casbright shared a couple days ago, Exodus 23:29-31, I will not drive them out before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little will I drive them out before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. You know, the neat thing when you read about the colonies, the British colonies, the people, the Brits, the Englishmen, the Scotsmen, the Irishmen, when they came and colonized, they were left to govern themselves. And the proof of that is the Mayflower Compact. It was one of the first documents providing freedom to govern themselves. All of the colonies were like that. And the problem was, because they were independent like that, when the in the 1700s, when England tried to start taking back some control, it didn't work. And we had our Revolutionary War. France's colonies and Spain's colonies were completely different. They were hard controlled by the governments of France and Spain. English was just a different people. We were an independent sort when we got here. But I just would like you to consider, when you see this and when you see with the colonies, how God's plan for this United States is exactly what he said in Daniel. It came out of a lion with eagle's wings. I think we're ready to worship.